Welcome to 2 on the 10.
Oh, we back.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, 2 on the 10. I'm Paul.
I'm Mitch.
Greedy.
Greedy.
You know what time it is, baby.
2 on the 10.
How much do we get?
Before we go to the weekend, Paul was a little riled up before the start of the show, so we keep it real over here, you know. And
keep it 100.
Say all that. Keep it 1,000. You know.
Here we go.
Oh, I'm just gonna sip this tea real quick.
Exactly. But we were talking about how, for those of you who don't know, in the Bitcoin world, see, we're very diverse here. We're not one trick ponies. You know.
Yeah.
For those of you in the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency world, you know, Yodel.
Hodl.
Hodl. But seriously, what Bitcoin going to do in the next couple of days?
So the Bitcoin halving, it happens every 4 years. So it's about to happen in the next 24 hours. And what it does, it reduces the amount of supply that you're able to mine. So after the halving, this is traditionally, Bitcoin will go down and then it will fucking skyrocket. So right now we're sitting at about, it's almost say around like 60,000. So once a halving comes, you'll see it may drop all the way down to 45. That is, I mean, if you can afford like half of it, get any kind of piece or fraction of a bit, just to hold on because it's about
Orange,
to go.
Sir.
Yeah, because it's going to go nuts. My prediction is I think it hits 100K by the end of this bull cycle. So that's what normally starts. A halving starts in a bull cycle. So they, they have a bear cycle and they have a bull cycle. We haven't hit the bull cycle yet, but it's about to run up. That's why, if you see in the market right now, we're getting a little bit of a pullback because people are essentially they're trying to load up on these coins because right now it shit's gonna go parabolic. Last time before the havoc, right after it's during the pandemic, matter of fact. You probably heard of a coin called Shiba Inu, right? Yep. And this coin it came out during right after the Bitcoin halving.
Oh, they were shilling it hard because of the Dogecoin.
Because of the Dogecoin. Yep. It was just another, but it shot up and went to the moon. It went crazy. You know what I'm saying? The problem with that coin is, it's a meme coin, but anyway, it just has a lot. I mean, it has a lot of supply. That's the problem with it. And that's the problem with a lot of these shit coins is you can buy them super cheap.
Yeah, I got over 3 million of those. I was just checking.
Yeah, you can buy them super cheap.
It's like $68 worth.
Yeah.
It ain't getting me rich.
Yeah, but you got to buy a shit ton. You know, if you had bought it when it first dropped, it was something funny I saw the other day. It was like, if you had dropped $1,000 on it in 2020, your $1,000 would have had you $5.3 million.
Now, here's the crazy thing. Because of all these stories, this is my opinion, you know, as I jumped in the game, we all have been in the game, and at one point we were all talking to each other 2-3 hours a day trading and stuff,
Right.
And
that's alleged, though, by the way, in case the feds are listening. I don't have crypto, and I never have.
How do you think we afforded all this podcast
equipment? Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I'm going to be real with you. I've been in... My dumb ass.
I remember Costcoin.
Yeah. My dumb ass has been in since the beginning, since 14. And as you guys remember, I used to have miners and all types of shit at my house. And
what kind of?
Are we talking like Diddy miners, or are we talking about other miners?
What kind of mining? What coin were you mining back then?
I was mining Dogecoin back then.
Dogecoin. And that coin made a big run back in like the late 19.
No. It made teens. It made
2010.
I mean during the last cycle, it went crazy. You know, Elon Musk, you know, shielded and then it went dummy. Mm-hmm. Here's my thing, and this is what we were
talking. So you made a lot of money off that then, is what you're telling me.
Well, this is what we were talking about earlier.
I'm just trying to rile them up.
And we don't always talk about our wins on this show.
Yeah, so.
Sometimes we talk about our L's, which stands for lessons.
Yeah, so if anybody has ever been to my old house, I used to have this living room that when you walked in the front door, it was off to the side, and there was nothing in it. We eventually put like a wine. We redid the house and had a wine dispenser in there. But anyway, before all that, I used to have a table down there with all my miners, and I had a computer that was dedicated just for crypto. Mm-hmm. And so
it's funny, you had a computer dedicated for crypto, Nick has a computer dedicated for miners.
Oh, wow. My gosh. Here just go, he all won. Every time we go on the show, he all won. I swear. But no, so after a while, my ex-wife got on me over and over again about getting, it was too cluttered in the house and all this stuff. This is why I'm so, like, even my girl now, she was like, oh, just pick this up. I said, don't touch it. If it's mine and I put it away.
We're hoarders, baby.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. Do not touch it until hoarders. I do it. Because I'm
hoarders,
very,
mount up.
I'm very adamant about this because essentially it cost me around about $250,000 off this fucking, off this mistake.
Quarter ticket.
So I put this, I knew this corn could do something in the future possibly. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, I had, in the Bitcoin, of course, I put some bit away and stuff like that. When it ran up to 20,000, you know, I can't tell you what I did with it because like you said, the IRS might be listening. But anyway, I did some good things with it. Mm-hmm. But this Dogecoin is, I put it away because I had it a bunch mined on this computer and I could always fire it up to the, and so I went out and I put it in my garage. Mm-hmm. And I put it up on the top shelf and stuff like that. And, you know, it's the best thing to do. You forget about it. You know, my ex told me how to clear it out. So I did. You know, it was this thing. You try to be a good husband. You fucking clear the shit out. Well, I come home one day. I forget what the fuck. I might have been playing golfing or something like that. I come home one day. Garage is open. You know, water is all on the floor and shit. And the garage is fucking clean out. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, well, I'm spring cleaning. I'm cleaning out the fucking garage. I was like, when the fuck did you ever clean out the garage? You never clean, you know, it's a garage, you know what I'm saying? You know, we have storage and shit. This is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't think about it. I didn't think about it when I first got home and stuff like that. So I don't know why. It just hit me like maybe like 2-3 days later. I'm like, nah, she wouldn't. I'm like, she's smart enough to know there's a computer up there. Like, I have it up there for a reason, mm-hmm. not to throw the fucker out, right? Mm-hmm. So I go back out there, and the computer's not up there. And so I go to her, and I go, what the fuck is this computer does sitting up here? And she's like, oh, I threw that old thing out. I say, you fucking did what? She says, I threw it out. It was an old computer. You put it up here. I said, no, I stored it, this shit on there. I didn't know. What do you mean you don't know? You don't fucking take the time to ask, hey, do you need this computer? You just take this old shit into your own hands. Like, the fuck? Anyway.
So basically you're telling me that she threw away a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Do you get to write that off as a loss?
How? Here's the thing is I can't prove it because everything's on the fucking computer. So I can't write it off as a loss because they can't see how many things I might have to have the computer to fucking do it. I didn't. Real talk.
Hey, what dumpster she throw that?
Real shit. I wish I knew. I try to go find, like, real talk. I didn't talk to her for 1 week. 1 week, it was silent in the fucking house. She didn't talk to me. I didn't talk to her.
Not even a mouse.
I fucking was so pissed. Holy fuck! I'm still pissed to this day. And my son brought it up fucking last week. He thinks it's comedy. You know? Like, fucking bro.
Apparently, Mitch does too.
No, I'm just you know. I mean, I'm just you know.
But anyway,
I'm laughing from not crying.
Yeah, yeah. Oh fuck! I mean, I'm sort of over it, you know. But it's like it's one of them things where it like, especially like now in my house, if I tell you not to touch them, don't fucking touch it. Like real talk is like if I'm. If it means something to me and it's sitting there for a reason, you know what I'm saying? And I'll get to it when I get to it. But don't touch it.
I said it's broke.
Yeah, I said it's broke. Don't touch it. You're going to get fucked up. This is one thing that's non-negotiable with me. You do not mess with my shit. So.
Wow. And so, no, we had to bring that up.
We had to bring that up because I started talking about the halving and stuff like that. And there's a couple coins that out there that are going to fucking go parabolic. That I believe that I'm holding right now that are fucking gonna go bananas. You know,
is one of them bananas coin?
No, not banana. They don't even got a banana coin. I don't think they might.
I'm gonna make that shit. Banana coin.
They make it easier to fucking make coins.
I'm gonna say this too, real quick. With all this coin game out there, you know, obviously be careful. Everybody that thinks they wanna jump on a bandwagon, invest.
Yeah, I mean, this is not financial advice.
No, exactly.
That's why I've been very careful not to say what coin that I'm investing right now, because I don't want people to go out there and say, oh, You said to invest in this coin and it fucking went nowhere.
And let me add this. Just think about the principles behind this. Because when they kept going, oh, it's going up, these coins, Bitcoin's going up, altcoins are going up, all these other coins are going up. Remember, Nick, Litecoin and, you know, whatever. The one thing you got to think about is this. When you put your money into these type of coins, you're putting it in for most likely a long play. Mm-hmm. You're hearing about the success stories of 10, 20, 100 times in your money. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. When all the hype gets out and you're late to the game, just know that there's so many millionaires and definitely some billionaires that will sit there and play the same game with you. Mm-hmm. Except when you throw in your $500, your $1,000, your $5,000, your $10,000, $20,000, even $50,000, mm-hmm. and you go, you know what? I just want a 5 to 10 times my money,
yeah.
right? Okay, well, guess what? You're going to get teased at a certain point, whether that's the market mm-hmm. or whether that's manipulated. Obviously, these things can't be regulated fully.
They're coming down with regulations.
Yeah, no,
in the future because it's
manipulated.
It's on stock exchanges. They got ETF. They have Bitcoin ETF now. They're coming out with an Ethereum ETF. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's real fucking. Regardless if they say it's digital, it's real fucking money. Fiat and you buy these coins and it has some type of value. They're just trying to figure out if it's a commodity or if it's a stock. You know what I'm saying?
So real quick, though, on my point that I see happen more than not, mm-hmm. and it took me getting in the game. Remember, Nick, when we were all in it heavy?
Yeah.
And we were making some money for a while. I remember what the site I was on with Sweden Cryptopia, which ended up folding or whatever. We were making money.
I still get emails about that. They're still talking about
lawsuit. The lawsuit, exactly.
Hey, don't. That's phishing. They're fishing, bro.
What?
Don't click on them.
I don't click on shit.
No, I don't click on it. But it's the law firm that sends it out. They're giving you updates on the law suit.
Okay. I can tell you there's one that's already settled and stuff like that. You had to show, like, screenshots of what your account was and stuff like that. But you got to be careful.
But back to my point.
Okay.
Seriously, though, for the people out there listening, you see these success stories. You hear these 10, 20, 50, 100 times.
Well, fucking Bitcoin was at 100. It was at 100 bucks 10 years
ago. No, of course. And the thing that people need to realize is that now that everybody's aware of this game, the whales sit back mm-hmm. with their $1 million to $10 million and up, mm-hmm. and they can make that investment that you're banking on going 10 plus times your money,
right.
and they can get 20%. And 20% of $1 million is $200,000 in profit. You know, they're
well, here's the thing. BlackRock owns 311,000 Bitcoin.
Oh, no, of course. Yeah.
It's something over
BlackRock
like...
BlackRock owns everything.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's over like
50. They own this podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by BlackRock.
The rock is in the building.
And they paying it.
We need to negotiate these contracts. But so anyway, enough about that. But just be careful, people, because guess what? The people behind the scenes that have the money, they can take out 10%. If you put in, let's say you put in $5,000 of your hard earnings,
mm-hmm.
right? You would not take out when you get your first 500.
No.
You know, you're like, oh, fear of missing out, FOMO. So just keep that in mind. Right. They, when they get their 10%, they've got 10 million in, they'll be happy to take a million.
So here's my thing is you got to figure out, it's when you go in and you got to figure out what's your exit strategy. You got to say, this number is where I'm getting out at. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I have, like right now, like I said, I'm sitting on a bag of coins that I know.
That's good. You're sitting on a bag of coins, Nick's sitting on a bag of dicks.
What? Pickle part?
It's a phrase.
Anyway. But no, I have my get out. I have my get out strategy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like once it hits, you know, either the market cap gets to a certain number or the price gets to a certain number, I'm getting the fuck out.
Well, let me just add this. If you're in early and you're in good,
yeah.
Hey, at a certain point, pull out, pause,
mm-hmm.
and
wipe it off.
Play with house money.
No. I mean, that's all. Just like anything about gambling.
Take your initial investment out. And play with house money.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, if anybody should be giving advice on this, just read that, baby.
Greedy. You always
stay away.
You always play with house money because that way, once you get up, you know what I'm saying? If you lose it, so what? You're not out anything. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely hear you on that.
So after we took a quick, left into the Bitcoin world, which I thought was very necessary,
mm-hmm.
Back to my weekend.
Yeah, give me a quick week. Right, weekend.
Let's see, weekend.
So we're not 26 minutes.
Oh, no, yeah, 26 minutes of bullshit. Y'all remember that? So let's see, the weekend this weekend, it was cool. Saturday, I mean, Chris has hit the bike.
Uh-huh.
Just went out to, honestly, took the coolest ride. Weather was amazing. Okay. So I went by Saguaro Lake. went by the whole river, you know, the river, hit Saguaro, hit the back roads over by Fort McDowell.
Okay.
Went to, what's it called? I can't even think of it right now. Fountain Hills.
Okay.
Went through Fountain Hills, you know, the neighborhoods and stuff and the views. Mm-hmm. Took Fountain Hills down to Shea, you know, across Scottsdale. They were having some bike, some 10-speed races or whatever. I don't even know if they're 10-speeds anymore or whatever.
Right.
Showing my age, but they had some bike races. They had the streets blocked off, but the weather was good.
You know what? I forgot to ask you. Yeah. Did you participate in Bike Week when it was here?
You know what? I actually didn't. I actually didn't. My boys did that I rolled with.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wanted to show out, but, man, when I saw the videos of, like, the Thursdays and Fridays and where they parked at Cave Creek and how you have to walk, the bikes are, like, there's 10,000 bikes all the way down the street.
Yeah.
And you basically have to walk almost damn a mile.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, it's cool and all, but, you know, and then everybody goes to that dog saloon on, you know, for Shea and Ernie's and all that shit. It's cool. And I'm in the culture, but I don't know. I don't like crowds, bro. I don't even like Costco on Sunday.
Okay, you know? Got you.
But either way, I didn't this year. I have before, but I didn't this year. So we just rode around. It was cool. The weather was beautiful. Got out early. Took Shea all the way down. You know where we had to stop? Guido's Deli.
Guido's Deli.
Yeah, Chris had never been there. And so, man, had to do my
shit was fire, huh?
Oh, amazing. The turkey sandwich is my go-to always there because of the sauce, which we can talk about later. Mm-hmm. Also, their special, Italian dressing on there. And then
figured it out.
What's it called? Yeah, you know, we cracked the code. Close enough. Mm-hmm. And then I also had to get the veal.
Really?
Veal Parmesan sandwich.
Ooh, veal.
Amazing. Parmesan. Amazing. Okay. Yeah. All right. Amazing. And then had to get a cheese. They have the waiter was pretty cool, young dude. He was like, "Man, you gotta try the lemon ricotta cheesecake. It's homemade. Best cheesecake I've ever had."
I'll take your word for it. I don't fuck with cheesecake too much, but I'll take your word for
it. That shit was amazing. The crust was, I mean, everything from the crust to just the flavor, the texture, everything, amazing. Mm. Like Chris already, when are we going back for some more lemon ricotta cheesecake? I'm like, when I go to the gym first? but for real though, so that was amazing. And then we actually took Scottsdale down through on the way back.
Right.
Had a stop at Fox's to grab a cigar.
There you go.
Took it a whole Saturday. It was cool. Our pace, great weather, hit the bike, hit the cigar, Scottsdale. And then, you know, called it a day. It was cool. And then, what's it called? Let me think. Nothing too serious. I got a lot of food, some good food spots this week. So the lineup of food spots was, I think on Monday, what we did when we started this week. We did, give me one second. I'm starting to forget, I don't know.
Old age, man.
Yeah, exactly.
It gets you.
Exactly. But I want to say we did, okay, one day we did Mandy's. On the south side, Mandy's Fish and Chips. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been
there. Oh, the fish and chips, they're fire, bro.
16th Street
fire.
And Baseline.
Yes, that place is so good.
Yeah. I'll just say this, though, nothing. I'm very well at home over there. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my folks on the south side. But I just want to say this. Chris was kind of tripping out, and we're eating there. And the first three dudes that walk in are all wearing house slippers. But it is.
That's the chicken place right there, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Baseline.
No. Harold's.
Yeah.
We were thinking between either or. And then, okay.
Yeah, I always forget about that shit. I've never done it.
Mandy's. Oh my gosh. And so that was good. They also do it's crazy because they have the one there. They're doing fried Oreos, fried Twinkies, all that other shit. Mm-hmm. We didn't get any, but that was there. And then we also did on Tuesday night. We went to the spot in downtown Phoenix called the Cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little roofed area, but the AC's blowing pretty good. They got a lot of. It's like almost like a co-op.
Okay. It's not the cathedral. Rosa. It's
or something like that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yep, I go there. Keep going. I'll get you.
No. So okay. So we went there on Tuesday.
You're not talking about the promenade.
No, it wasn't the promenade. It was sounds like the cathedral. What's it called? The Christus or something? Or it was something. But either way, my dude's local style grinds, who I think have the best wine food in the valley.
Mm-hmm. It's called Churchill.
Churchill. That's what it is. It's cathedral. Churchill. You know, potato. Potato. But anyway, so we went there, and on Tuesday they do tacos. Oh my God, they're short rib tacos with the orange sauce. Their chicken, it's amazing. They got all the right. Best wine food. Yeah, you got to go check them out at the Churchill.
All right,
it's off of Roseville. I mean Roosevelt. And then of course yesterday, you know what we had to do again? Singing Panda.
Singing Panda. Oh, I saw you put that on your story. That shit was super fire.
Yeah. Oh, so, fire. And then let me tell you, too, what's funny. We were on the patio of the Moose, I think, on Sunday. And one of my boys, Zeke, he's from Chicago. Man, he's Belize cat, real super cool. You might have met him at my, you know, before. Cool cat. Anyway, he was like, man, we're going to get Chinese food right now. Where are you guys going? Oh, we're going to the spot over in East Mesa. Nah, bro. You got to check out. It's really, really, and he has a Belize accent. Really, Mitch? Really? It's really that good? I go, it's the best. I go, my boy says it's the best on the West Coast. I think to agree. And his wife said, we're going. So I'm like, oh, they said that, whatever. So I see him this next week. His wife was like, Singing Panda and high five. That's the best Chinese food we've ever had.
No, for real.
And Mitch, not kidding.
That shit is fucking fire.
Hey, I had an account rep in from one of the manufacturers that we sell their software, and he was talking about how he's gotten into, like, he loves Kung Pao chicken. I'm like, bro, I go, you, and he travels all over. He was telling me about, like, places in, like, outside of San Francisco and in New York and all these places. I'm like, bro, the best Chinese food on the West Coast. The Western United States is saying.
I agree.
Hold on. I want to know. How does Arizona, to me, you're talking about the West Coast, best sushi and best fucking Chinese.
Well, let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. We're going to start having
to. And they're both in the East Valley.
Well, let me tell you this. We're going to have to start having a movement called Respect Arizona, because I get it. Don't get me wrong.
We're transplants. Chicago, but this
and
shit.
New York come in and go, man, it ain't nothing like this, nothing like this, nothing like this, but. We're getting pretty damn close on OG stuff from y'all place, and that's respectfully.
Right.
You know, our bagels are getting close.
Right.
Our pizzas are getting close. I mean, if you're not a hater and you really know your food, you'll understand that we're getting close.
No. But you know? what I'm saying is.
And other stuff, we are there. No, we are there.
I mean, we're the top of Mexican food by far.
Oh, agreed. I agree.
I took my girl to, Tamari for the first time a couple weeks back. Yeah. She lost her fucking mind.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. She was like. Because before, she had thought, we eat sushi all the time, and she had thought the stuff that we had down in Tulum was, Tulum was fire.
Yeah.
Fire, right? Absolutely fire. But then I took her to Tamara, and she was like, nah, this is the best. Like, the Primo roll.
The Primo roll. In the world.
Is in the world. I will put the Primo roll against any roll that you fucking throw down.
Exactly.
I guarantee.
Hey, bring your roll, we'll bring our roll.
Yeah, I guarantee that shit will murder any fucking
exactly.
thing. Anything. That shit's too fun. It's so good.
Hey, so that guy that came into town, we went to lunch. I took him to Ritos Tacos.
Which one? The Garfield one or Mesa?
No, the Mesa one. And I had already taken him before to Cucina Madrigal.
Right.
And he loved that. And then it burned up. And he's like, we're going to go back there? I'm like, oh, man, they burned down.
Right.
They're under renovation. I go, but I'm going to take you to another taco spot. You like crunchy hard shell beef tacos? He's like, yeah, I love them. But I'm going to take you the best one. And he's like, oh, yeah, you never let me down every time I come into town. So took him there. He mashed. He's like, oh, my God, this is some of the best Mexican food I've ever had in my life.
Yep.
So we started talking, and I told him. He was telling me about how he likes Chinese food and then likes sushi.
Right.
And I said, some of the best sushi in the world is in Gilbert. He's like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
So I said, next time I'm going to take you to Tamari. I go, I'm going to take him to Singing Panda. And then I told him, he's like, you know what I really miss? I haven't been to the East Coast in a while. I was like, I really miss a good bagel.
Uh-huh.
So I just started laughing. I go, oh. And he's like, what, you got one of those too? I was like, bro, go to Bagel Man in Ahwatukee. I promise you won't be disappointed.
Right.
He's like, I go, they do it right. They do the lox. He's like, I love lox. Mm-hmm. I was like, so I get a text at like 6:30 this morning. Yeah. Oh, my God, I just ate my second bagel in my car. He's like, I also bought a dozen for your office.
There you go.
He fucking loved that shit. And so.
I think we need to change this podcast to We Know Food Podcast.
We know food. No.
Where are you going to eat at? Oh, by the way, our boy Steve is in Dallas right now. Uh-huh. And he hit me up. He's like, where should I go get food? So I gave him this barbecue spot that I went to a few times.
Oh, Steve?
Yeah.
Hey, tell him.
And here's what he just. This is what he said. Yes, he's in there.
What's he doing in Dallas?
I don't know. But he sent me a picture, said fire, great recommendation.
Hey, tell him Nick and Sam.
I told him Nick and Sam's too, but
Bob's.
He went to this, it's called Terry Black's.
Yeah.
It's a barbecue spot. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
It's like a home style barbecue. He went in there, he was like, oh my God. He was shocked. Because he knew, he just texted me, he's like, Dallas, where do I go eat? And I just sent him like three spots.
Hey, you know what's funny? This is a true story. I know. I get about 5 to 10 people a week that hit me up. Hey, I'm over here. What's good?
I do too.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, people go in other states, and that's because he knows we go to Dallas sometimes. Yeah. So he's like, "Where to go?" And I'm like, "All right, go here." I did tell him Nick and Sam's. I said, "If you can get a Rezzo, go to Nick and Sam's."
You guys know some cats?
Yeah.
And then I told him two barbecue places. He went to the first one. He's like, "Oh my God." He loved it. So I'm waiting to see if he went to another spot.
Tell him he needs to go to Bob's for a filet.
Yeah, Bob's is good too.
Bob's might be my favorite filet anywhere.
And they got one in Tucson. We got to still do a trip down there.
Exactly.
Really? Well, I'm going on there next weekend. It's
Little Bob's, maybe.
Yeah, we're going there for the spring game. So hey, if y'all come down.
And a guy that I work with, his brother and him own a nightclub in downtown Tucson. So I'd have to go check that out.
Yeah, yeah. We got to talk. We'll talk.
It's called Twinkle Toes.
We'll definitely talk about that.
It's wow.
Sugar balls.
Coming to the stage, cinnamon.
Gentlemen, reach deep into your pockets for cinnamon.
All right, man. Well, it sounds like you had a pretty eventful weekend.
It's all right.
What you got, Greedy? Give me something.
Other than my weekend, I went to a baseball game Friday night. So
that's awesome. What about you, Paul? What's your weekend?
I went to the baseball game.
Have you seen my baseball?
Saw an amazing game.
Yeah, what was that, Tuesday night.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to extras. They hit tied the game up bottom of the night, two outs, hit a home run.
Yeah.
And then
Marte?
Yeah, Marte hit it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the crazy part was they were down to their last strike.
Yeah.
And the D-back little mascot was in our row.
Right.
So we're like talking to him. I'm taking pictures. And all of a sudden I hear this crack of the bat. I look up and I'm like, that's gone. And we all started cheering. He's giving high fives.
I thought you said someone hit him in the head with the bat. I was like, that's cool. Oh.
So
violent.
So the game was dope. Like I said, I did a lot of good food spots. Mitch had talked about the Guidos over the weekend. So I met my parents there for lunch on Monday. I call them. I'm like, I got to go up by you guys for a meeting. I go, you want to meet for lunch? And they're like, yeah, where? I'm like, Guidos. Yeah. So I went there. I had their pastrami sandwich. Oh, my God.
Fire.
So
I know it's fire.
So good. Mash that.
Here's my question. Guidos, pastrami sandwich, or Miracle Miles 1.5?
They're different.
You know what? You know what's funny? You're going to think I'm crazy. I'm going Togo's.
You're going Togo?
Yeah, believe it or not. And that's a chain.
Holy fuck.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, pastrami and roast beef, or pastrami and corned beef.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carnegie Deli in New York. Vegas. But they also won in Vegas at the Mirage.
Oh, the Mirage, you're right. The Mirage.
Really?
The first time I ever ate that sandwich, We're walking past in through the Mirage, mm-hmm. and they had like a sumo wrestling convention. Mm-hmm. There was two sumo wrestlers, like, you know how big those, like 500 pounds.
Yeah. Fighting over the sandwich.
One guy's holding the sandwich. It's bigger than his head. Damn. It stacks like, and they basically give you the sandwich and they give you like 10 pieces of bread with it because there's so much meat.
And it's like, back in the day, it was like
$25, $30.
Yeah.
Back in, this is like, you know, early 2000s.
Yeah. When food costs was affordable.
But I'm telling you, hey, the sumo wrestler's holding the sandwich, and people are just snapping pictures because you see this 500-pound guy, and the sandwich is as big as his fucking head. And he's walking. He didn't even finish it. Everybody's like, is he going to finish it? He didn't finish it. So we walked by, and I was like, we got to go eat.
What a loser.
We got to go eat there. So I ordered
the sandwich. What a loser. I finished that sandwich.
Hey, I ordered the sandwich. I ate off that thing for like 3 days. Just put it in the fridge, kept going. I'd take the extra bread, just eat like a little sandwich. It was so good, man. That stuff. Oh.
Carnegie Deli. Okay.
Carnegie Deli, I'm telling you. They still have one in New York. The MG or Mirage, I think they're closing down, aren't they? Like the whole hotel, I think.
That's what I heard. But I mean, so, and then real quick, just for the record, if you're in Arizona and you're in Mesa, one that rivals, I mean, not history wise, but just good wise, go to Knuckle Sandwiches. Get the heavyweight.
All right.
The heavyweight's amazing.
Well, fuck with it then. Definitely gonna fuck with it.
Hey, speaking of which, real quick, let's just, you know, before we get to your weekend. Mm-hmm. So speaking of sandwiches. So
yes.
Okay, before the podcast started, I just want you to know.
So we was in the green room.
Yeah, we were in the green room. Uh-huh. I figured something out last weekend with, you know, some secret sauces and everything else.
We can't tell you.
So yeah, exactly. So I had to hit Nick up and I go, you know what? I think I got this old Chicago deli, New York deli shit down, bro.
Right.
And he goes, well, no, but and I'm not going to say my secret.
So what was the first sandwich that you made?
Okay, so when I figured it out?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, like tonight.
Okay, tonight. So we did basically, it was simple. We did a turkey, salami, and provolone.
Yeah, that shit was fucking delicious
with the oil?
With the aioli sauce.
And by the way, garlic aioli and some oil. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Can't tell you.
Everything. Yeah, so I go, hey, so Nick's like, why don't you do that for the podcast then? All right, cool, game on. Mm-hmm. You know, $60 later, worth of just meats and cheeses and breads, but hey.
And sauces.
Hey, by the way, I got them right by the door. I'm taking them home.
Hey, do your thing, baby.
We all
so, But if you fuck around and forget them, then they're gone.
Exactly. So I want to say, you know, I was kind of proud of myself because I don't cook too much or make too much shit. But I was like, hold on a second, man. I think I could whip these sandwiches.
Nah. Hey, Mitch might be the first person mugged for some deli meat and sauce.
I'm trying to do it in 10 podcasts.
Mitch, there was an incident.
I wish a motherfucker would.
Hey, if Mitch falls over, he'll just hit his little life alert and be like, I've fallen and I can't get up. Help is on the way, Mr. Titano.
And Nick's going to have a mask on with glasses underneath going, oh my God. You wouldn't hit a man with glasses, would you?
Oh, my God. No, Diddy. Anyway.
So.
No.
How was your weekend, Paul?
Weekend was cool, man. It was relaxing. My girl went to Country Thunder. So she was out there doing a little promotion, whatever, and then hanging out there with.
I heard all the girls out there doing a little promotion.
Hanging out there with her girlfriend, something like that, and something like that. So my weekend was chill, man. Like I said, I got a lot of, you know, the honey to-do list stuff and then some stuff that I need to get done. And it was just a quiet, relaxed. I sat by, caught up on a few movies and stuff like that. Here's a series. If you guys haven't, I don't know if you gotta have Hulu to maybe check it out, but Shogun, it's from the makers of Game of Thrones, also from the makers of Westworld. Best TV show fucking out there right now. It hands down is a shit sick.
Okay. What's it called again?
It's called Shogun.
Shogun?
Yeah, I promise you will be fucking.
What's the premise? What's it about?
It's based in the 1600s in Japan, about the civil wars in Japan. And the shit is fire. I mean, just sick. Wow. It is fire. It's based off like
is actual subtitles?
Yeah, subtitles. So you're going to have to read some. Some is in subtitles, some is in English. But trust me, it's one of them. You ever seen Squid Games? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you watch Squid Games and you didn't fucking, you were reading the subtitles, but it didn't even, it was so good, you didn't realize you was reading.
It reminded me of my high school back home in California.
Yeah. I mean, for you motherfuckers who can't read, then yeah, it's going to be a problem. But you can always put on that, what's that, CCTV. But anyway, it's a fire-ass show if you ain't fucking check it out. But let's talk about, we touched on
greed.
Greed and fucking, oh my gosh, this story makes me sick. Just because we come on the show.
Pause.
You know, greedy has his hat on, you know what I'm saying? It's all about, and we talk about sports betting all the time. We talk about some of the funny, questionable stuff. I even sent you some stuff a couple days ago talking about how the Laker game before they played in the playoff game was extended by 66 seconds. Mm-hmm. And the money was, Vegas was about to get fucking hammered because the money was on the under. And they extended the game by 66 seconds to make the game go over. They scored 4 extra points in that 66 seconds. And the NBA came out and said, yeah, it's our fault, da-da-da-da, all this shit, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's us thinking, but here's something that fucking concrete, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, let me get it right, not Michael Porter Jr., Michael Porter Jr.'s brother played for the Raptors.
Oh, no. Did he play for Raptors?
Yeah, he's played with the Raptors.
Porter Jr. or the other dude?
No, Porter Jr.'s brother.
Brother.
Really?
Brother.
Oh, he plays for Raptors?
Yeah, he played for the Raptors, yeah.
No, we're talking about some other cat.
No. Michael Porter Jr.'s brother played for the Raptors. So this cat was...
John Tay Porter, by the way.
Yeah, John Tay Porter, yeah. So a couple months back, he got... I think we even mentioned slightly on the podcast. He got... he was... suspended from the league because for the investigation on possible gambling in sports. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it just came out right before the playoffs. He gets a lifetime ban for betting on games he played in.
$80,000 worth.
That he bet that the fucking Raptors, his own team, would lose.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
He even bet supposedly that he wouldn't play so many minutes in the game.
Yes. So he had this minute. He had this minute where it was like he played. He wouldn't play. It was the over under was like 5 minutes that he would play in the game. Right. Mm-hmm. He got hurt 3 minutes into his playing time.
Mm-hmm. And supposedly it came out that he pulled himself out of the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And said he couldn't play or is hurt or whatever. And I guess he also they found evidence of him providing that information to other people to place bets. so that they were placing bets on all of his unders, on all of his statistical numbers for two certain games that he left the game within like 3 or 4 minutes of the game with it. One, he said he was sick, and the other one, he said he had an eye injury.
So I'm just going to jump in real quick. You know my opinion on this shit. So I want to talk to the public out there, and I hope we're talking to, mass audience. Mm-hmm. But you think this is a one-off?
Here's the thing. I don't think this is a one-off. I think players aren't stupid enough to fucking bet on, actually leave trails. I mean, you look at Ohtani, that scandal right there. Whether he was betting through his interpreter or wasn't, he had an arm's length distance. This dumbass was actually betting out of his own fucking account. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like he had a fucking bookie that had no fucking digital trace. But this dumbass was actually on FanDuel or DraftKings actually betting on himself.
I'm going to add to speaking of the word dumbass.
Uh-huh.
This is the truest statement I'm going to say on this podcast. I truly believe if you could bet on WWE, people would. I truly believe it.
Here's the thing. I believe people would fucking try to do it, but it's impossible because the outcome is already determined. You know what I'm saying?
I said, people would bet on it.
You know,
people are going to bet on Jake Paul, Mike Tyson.
Yeah, exactly.
I guarantee that outcome's already.
You think so?
It's entertainment.
Rules of that, it's an exhibition.
It's entertainment.
They're using bigger gloves.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Tyson gets paid more the longer the fight goes on.
Yeah, here's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't give a fuck. Jake Paul's getting fucked up in that fight. I don't care.
Hey, if Tyson knocks out in the first round, he basically doesn't get paid.
Yeah, I get it.
If he goes the full eight, he gets buku bucks.
Yeah.
So there's incentive for him not to just come in and destroy the guy.
Well, I guess what? I'd be beating his ass up through the fucking...
And the funny thing is, here's the day and age we're in. People are going to bet on this shit.
Right.
No matter what. And it's going to be probably a record.
I'm not going to bet on him. No, I'm definitely going to watch this motherfucker.
Exactly. Hey. People are going to pay. People are going to watch. People are going to bet.
By the way, fights. Did you guys see the Gaethje-Max Holloway fight this weekend?
God, that shit was crazy.
That lasts like 10 seconds.
Well, he wanted that money. He told him get in the middle.
They just started throwing blows.
Here's the thing. They both were never knocked out before, right?
Yeah.
They were just throwing haymakers. They both could have got fucking...
Yeah.
Cold cut.
That shit was.
He just happened to catch him.
That might be one of the best knockouts ever.
And he caught him with 1 second left. That was a crazy fucking.
And he was out.
Oh, he was out cold.
Yes.
He that was one of them shots where you get and then the fucking you is one of them. You take that Ambien.
And you wake up and you're like, "What time's the fight? Let's do it. I'm ready." Oh, that's long gone. You're back in the dressing room. Already took a shower, bro.
And you already been touched by P. Diddy.
Oh, my God.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Hey, did you see the video of Tyson and him on the couch with they're doing an interview?
Yeah.
He lifts P. Diddy's hand, moves it, and then, turns away.
I sent that to you guys.
Yeah, that shit was crazy.
He slapped his hand on Arsenio Hall.
Lifted his hand up and moved it away and said something.
Diddy tried to touch Tyson on his leg, and Tyson slapped his hand away.
Yeah. He was like,
"Hey, look up there, Arsenio Hall, Tyson, Diddy."
I ain't with that funny shit, but...
No Diddy.
Yeah, before we get to Diddy, talk about funny shit, you know what I'm saying? We were just talking about his brother. So the actual Michael Porter Jr., who's the better of the two brothers to play for the Denver Nuggets, he came on. He had an interview. This is, right now it's like...
Anything goes.
To me, it's like anything goes. It's snitching season. Everything is like, everybody, back in the day when we was growing up, it was all fucking hearsay. You know what I'm saying? Of course, we ain't had no TMZ and stuff like that. We ain't have podcasts like this, shit like that. And people were going on there. But people actually believe that it's cool to fucking be telling all these secrets and shit. And I'm going to tell people, if you're out there doing dirt, be careful who the fuck you're doing dirt with, because they're going to come back to fucking rat on you. And that's what I'm saying is, we were talking about this earlier, or before we talk about what we were talking earlier, is basically in an interview, he was talking about how players that he know were kind of funny they could get all these beautiful women.
He actually even said they do get all these beautiful women.
But they also
get bored.
They're bored and they want to mess with men. They want to mess with
trannies,
stuff like that. You know, each your own. Let's again on this podcast and say, we do not. At least I can say it for myself. I do not have anything against folks to do that. Each of their own. Like I said, I never judge another man because I never want to be judged for the actions that I fucking do.
And I'm gonna say like Shaggy, it isn't me.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, he's out here talking about what coming to this wild shit that's going on out here in the industry. But it's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And we, yeah.
And here's my question. Are we putting these celebrities and athletes at our higher standard, even though this freaky shit is going on common America?
No, they have more access to it. They have more options. Let's be honest. They're athletes. They have money. They have fame. They have clout. There's clout chasers. There's cleat diggers. I mean, you know, like, so they, again, they're going to have an advantage. Period.
But I'm saying, should we hold them to a different standard than we do regular folks?
I'll just say this.
AKA regular.
Well, let's put it this way. We technically have to, because if Joe Blow from the post office bet on something, we're not talking about it.
Right.
If Joe Blow had a different from the post office, had some crazy fetish, we don't really give a shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, Joe Blow from the post office ain't fucking a supermodel every night.
You never know.
I doubt it, but I'm just saying. And when you have access to, like, the most beautiful woman in the world, and, you know, like, there's always, like, the most beautiful woman in the world, there's a guy out there that's tired of fucking her.
Right.
Like, let's go even far, like, you go through Hollywood and even in the government, all the stuff with Epstein and all this. I mean, these guys can get whatever they want, so they have to, like, push that limit to get that. It's just like when you're a druggie, you have to push that limit on how much, what drug you take or how you take it.
Or if you're addicted to gambling.
Yeah, to get that high. You got to bet more, because that $20 bet doesn't do it anymore. Now you got to bet 50, and then you got to bet 100.
Yeah.
But it's the endorphins and the dopamine that you get when you're like, oh, excited. Yeah.
I mean,
the nervousness of the bet.
I know, but how good do you feel when that motherfucker hit?
You feel great.
Fuck yeah.
But it doesn't feel the same.
But then, hey, let's be real. You feel great for how long? And then you got to go chase the next high.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You win like $100 and then you're like, oh, fuck, I only won $100.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I might only bet $5, but I only won $100. Like,
yeah.
You're 20 times your money, and you're not really even happy about it.
Yeah, yeah, no, for real.
Because your meal costs 50.
But that's the thing. It's like when you're a celebrity or athlete, and you can basically get whatever you want. At some point, it becomes, oh, I already had an orgy with 6 supermodels. Like, right. What am I going to do at a 7th?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, at some point, you've done it all. And I would say in life in general, if you think about it, like, even if you had all the money in the world, what really more could you do that the average person can't?
Right.
Could you get access to better things? But it's all the same shit. Like,
here's at the end of the day, whatever you do, whether you're on whatever end of the totem pole you're on, if you have appreciation for it, a perspective for it, and can actually enjoy that moment, you're winning. You're actually winning, because there's so many people, and I've been there before, where you go through it blindly and chase something, or you want a different, you know, again. It becomes mundane. It doesn't hit you like it used to.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's everybody to a certain degree, depending on how you push your life. But I just want to make sure we know, if going home and sitting on the couch and eating a TV dinner and watching whatever TV show is what floats your boat, hey, more power to you.
Hey, I'm saying, some of the happiest people have the least.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the money to cloud them and think that they have to chase and be,
they find joy.
With the Joneses.
They find joy in the small situation.
Yeah.
Exactly. But here's my thing I'm going to tell folks right now. Just don't surround yourself with fucking people that ain't on your level or not doing the same shit that you're doing. Because right now, why are these motherfuckers out here snitching? Because they ain't doing the same shit that they doing?
Because a lot of people are haters now. Look at all the drama going on with the beef with, you know, Drake and all these rappers and picking sides and, you know, leaking these diss tracks.
First of all, I'm going to say this. Drake is a bad man, bro. He had 20 motherfuckers come at him, and he addressed all of them. That's a bad motherfucker. Hey, check his resume.
Again, and I'm going to say check this. This is probably another psyop because, again, it's a crumble society through different realms.
Right.
Like they always throw something off to crumble society. I'm going to use the John Wick movie. Again, I say it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We watch John Wick. We root for him. He's our champ. We champion him.
Right.
The motherfucker breaks oaths and codes and lies to fucking get what he wants. And that's the message we take home.
Right.
And kills like 200 people.
Yeah, exactly. Well, kills 200 people to get what he wants.
Right.
Yep.
You know what I mean? We're like, he's my hero. You know, well, let's root for him. Because
they killed his fucking dog, all right?
No, they killed his dog.
They killed his dog, and that trumps all.
Oh, remember your cat? Did you say that?
His word.
Remember your cat used that?
Yeah. You know what? You want to hear something funny about that?
What was that?
True story then. Funny you say that.
Somebody killed your cat.
No, well, let me just tell you. Let me tell you. Okay, true story. This is truer than hell. Last night, I get a text from a friend that tells me that my cat died a month ago.
Really?
Yeah, and I didn't know. I didn't know because I don't talk to my ex.
Damn.
Yeah, bro. So last night, I found out that. So.
Damn, that's fucked up.
I love that cat. Rest in peace, Casanova.
Yeah, no. Casanova. I'm going to give an applause now.
Hey, you met him a couple times.
Casanova's dope. Hey, I got a new appreciation. I got Bud, the cat at my house, and he's dope. He took a liking to me, and he follows me around the house.
So would you rather have a cat or a dog?
You know what? I'm going to take each animal individually, but honestly, I know some people have a stigma against cats. I love cats. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they got so much personality. I want a Bengal cat, to be honest with you.
You know, here's the thing.
I don't want to walk around the block. I've had both
cats and dogs. Here's the thing is, the craziest thing, and I didn't fucking know this until...
Dogs are more needy.
I didn't notice until a couple weeks ago. Do you know if you died in your house, you're locked in your house,
your dog,
your cat would eat you, or your dog wouldn't? Yes, go look it up. Your cat would actually
Cats are carnivores.
Your cat would start to eat you after they couldn't find food, and when you're dead. And your dog wouldn't.
I've heard some dogs have eaten their
own. Nah, look that shit up. The cat will fucking do it before the dog, bro. Look the shit up. Google it. But
cats are. I mean, cats are more. They're like lions. They're like more carnivore.
I didn't realize them motherfuckers. And I was like, nope, no cats for me. Even though I used to have some cats. I used to have some badass cats. Blizzard.
Hey, you know what? If you're dead, who gives a fuck who eats you?
Nah, don't be eating my ass while I'm dead.
Oh, here we go. I didn't even read it. There's a little scientific data about how likely it is for a dog or a cat to try and eat a dead owner. Mm-hmm. This is historical evidence that dogs have consumed dead human bodies, usually outdoors. And if this first responder suggests that cats may be more predatory than dogs if their owner is deceased. But I remember hearing dogs eat their owners outdoors
before. Yeah, but cats eat their motherfucking owners.
So do dogs.
Nasty bastards. Anyway, talk about nasty bastards real quick. Let's talk about these PW parties. More and more tapes coming out right now.
Oh, hold on real quick. 24% of dogs begin eating their owners in under 24 hours. And some of them even do so despite having normal dog food available. Shout out, where my dog's at?
Listen, I'm telling you, cats eat your motherfucking ass.
Chill out. Paul wants it to eat his ass. Pause.
Whoa. Young kids used to call that groceries.
No, did he. Anyway, so go on. You nasty bastards. Anyway, hey, we're going to talk about real quick these so-called Diddy tapes getting leaked a little bit.
Kind of interesting. Kind of the same way the Kim Kardashian Ray J tapes get leaked, right?
Yeah. I mean, one of the Kardashians, the head Kardashian, Jenner, supposedly, allegedly, I don't know, this could be all internet rumor, right now is in hiding, or because she is wanted for questioning by the FBI about what was all some of them tapes.
Well, I'm just going to say this. If you backtrack to our show 3 to 4 weeks ago, you guys remember this, right? Mm-hmm. When we're talking about Diddy, I go, it's not just Diddy. I go, it's Kris Jenner, Hugh Hefner, everybody, there's a few others.
I can't see Kris Jenner doing
that. First of all, she signed off on her daughter's porn tape.
Yeah, I mean,
she's a victim.
Listen,
Someone leaked the tape.
That's one thing. Pimping her daughter up. Okay.
The pimping daughter's one thing.
One
pimping hose.
All right.
Yeah, he's sending her over to a Saudi prince for $500,000 for the night.
Listen, I got to say, Kim was of age, my boy. Kim was of age. But I can't see her being...
I get Heidi Fleiss vibes.
Personally. Do you?
Yeah.
I can't see that.
New age.
She's with her daughter, stuff. So.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Yeah, for her daughters, but I don't see her like that. I don't see her at parties wilding like that. That's not her.
You haven't seen any of her daughters date an average Joe, all day an athlete, musician.
See, that's one thing she's taught. No. She's taught her daughters. Always make sure you, as you say, clout chasing. You know what I'm saying? And that's one thing. But I can't see. She's so fucking image conscious.
Let me ask you.
There's no way she'd be put in position.
And back in the day, you think she slept with OJ?
Fuck yeah, she did.
Is Chloe his daughter?
Ooh.
I'm going to say yes.
I think so. She's the big one.
Listen, without a
doubt. Okay. No, here's the thing. I can say, because Chloe don't. I mean, here's the thing. I know OJ was light skinned, but that bitch ain't light skinned, bro. That bitch ain't light skinned. I mean, I've seen, listen, I know some people have, you know, a black man that, you know, married a white girl and fucking has a really light baby. I know a white dude that has a darker girl and has a really light baby too, right? So I understand the genes there. Yeah. But Chloe is a white girl.
Well, I know a couple white couples that have a really dark baby.
The Nashes.
Well, that's a...
Oh, Canada.
Woo! We went there real quick. Okay.
We had technical difficulty. I don't know. We're going to have to cut that into post-editing.
Isn't it ironic, though, that Kris Jenner, and I'm not suggesting it, but it's just coincidental.
Mm-hmm.
But that Kris Jenner comes into question and OJ just died?
No, I think that's just happenstance. Okay. That's just happenstance. It has nothing to do with fucking OJ dying and fucking.
No, I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? Unless, no. I want to see tapes on that shit. Just like right now, they're saying, oh, Jay-Z and Beyonce, they laying low right now. You don't hear from them because
Beyonce did her country songs.
Because they are, you know. He might be in the lab making some music right
now. What I heard is that Jay-Z is the one that orchestrated Diddy's downfall because he wants to be the man. So,
right.
And just like he did to all these other people, like Big L, and took their style and their life and just took a step forward each time.
I don't know. But see, I wouldn't see why he would do that at this time because Diddy was, he was fading. His star wasn't as bright as it used to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but think about the people that have been around Jay-Z. Big L, gone.
Yeah.
R. Kelly, jail for that shit.
Right.
P. Diddy now with all these accusations.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all these famous people he gets with, and then all of a sudden they take the rap, and Jay-Z, you know. This time at least there's a little bit of something around Jay-Z with it, but, I mean, he seems to come out squeaky clean after each incident.
I'll say this. Why does every major, major celebrity always have a court case? It's like they have to make a choice. Diddy had one. Jay-Z had one with stabbing Lance under Vera.
Yeah.
Snoop had Murder Was the Case, and they made a video where the devil comes in and says, make a choice.
Yeah.
Murder Was the Case, they gave me. Tupac had his. Tyson had his. You know what I mean? It's like it's just funny to me. It's funny to me.
I got you. I don't know.
Probably coincidental.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Holly weird.
Maybe. Hey, real quick before we end the show here, we got to say rest in peace to the Phoenix Coyotes. They are leaving Phoenix, going to Utah.
See ya.
It's sad because, like I said, hockey in the desert is a hard thing to do. And I was talking to you, Greedy, about it. I feel if they would have got a stadium that was more centralized, I think I would have supported it because I would have definitely gone to more games. You know, I was going to a lot more games when you had them when we were going.
Yeah, they messed up when they moved to Glendale in the first place.
Yep.
They've been mismanaged since the team got here, since they moved out of downtown Phoenix. They should have tried to do something in downtown Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, Central Tempe, Scottsdale, Mesa area. Yep. They went all the way out to Glendale. There was nothing west of that, so that's almost the farthest west in town you could go.
Yep.
You know, the team changed multiple hands, ownership. The newest owner, he bought him. Didn't really seem like he had an interest. I mean, there's rumors going around this year that he wasn't paying the hotel's team, the team's hotel bills when they travel. So hotels that the NHL players were staying at were requiring to pay their bill with certified check. I mean, that's unheard of for a professional sports team,
right?
Not paying their bills. Well, that's true or not, it's just one of the things that's going around. And, you know, this guy buys the team and, you know, he's going to make $600 million off of it, and he's got a backdoor deal that if he can get a stadium deal within 5 years, they'll give him reinstate the Coyotes because he maintains the rights to the Coyotes' name, and so they'll reinstate them, and he'll have a team back here in Arizona within 5 years.
Yeah, there you go. We'll see.
Shout out the Coyotes.
Yeah. We'll see. I think they'll do much better in Utah. Anyway, it's cold weather up there, and they appreciate hockey a little bit more than
exactly.
the transplant exactly. state. So, I don't know what they got, the Utah something. I don't know.
Were saying the Stormin' Mormons.
Oh wow!
No,
yeah, someone floated that.
I love it though. I actually love it.
The team asked if we were a backpack or ride a bike around the game.
And then someone said the Yeti was the other
team name. The Yeti, I can see the Yeti.
Yeah.
Yetis.
Yeah,
okay. All right. Dope. Either one, I really like it. But anyway, all right, man, we're coming to the end of the show. Give me a thought of the day real quick.
Go ahead, Nick.
Oh, me first, huh?
Yeah.
My thought of the day for today with the you know, the crypto Bitcoin halving, you know, sometimes you got to take a little risk. You know, if you have a few extra dollars, throw it in some type of investment, take a risk, try to make some money. Put a, and the most important thing, if you're not doing it yet, you know, put some money away for your future and your retirement. That's one of the things my dad instilled in me is, you know, no matter what you do, you always got to put a little bit away to make sure, you know, when you get old and you retire or get ready to retire, you don't have to work into your 60s and 70s. You know, you can retire at a young age and then enjoy the later time in your life. So if you ain't doing it now, it's never too late. You got to start sometime. So start putting some money away.
There you go.
Mine's going to be simple. You know, life's, in my opinion, there's, you know, you go through your ups and downs, you know, your station, you know, your money, your power, everything. But I think one of the most important things, truthfully, I mean, obviously there's love and everything else, but respect.
Respect.
I really think respect's one of the most important things. And it's one of the things you hold on to, whether you are at the top of the totem pole or the bottom. Because I think when you're at the bottom, sometimes if you hold on to your respect, you make sure people respect you. And don't get me wrong, in the same token, you show that respect too, because it takes respect to get respect. And you definitely don't give respect to people that don't respect you. I'll tell you what, I think that helps you get the other two things in life. So always hold your respect. Don't ever let anybody disrespect you. You know, and that's my 2 cents on that.
There you go. There you go. Hey, mine's kind of a little funny one. What came first? Chicken or the egg?
The chicken.
How'd the chicken get there?
Magic trick.
He's stupid. Anyway,
you got a chicken and a hen and a rooster.
Came off the ark.
Wow. No, it's all about perspective. No, man. You know what I'm saying? Life is about perspective. And I'm saying, whatever your perspective is, fucking run with it. Fuck everybody else. We out. 2 on 10. Love ya.